for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, June the 29th, 1978. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp and Conference Grounds Summer Camp Meeting being held in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Speaker of the evening is Ferris Miller.
Thank the Lord for setting us freer and freer and freer. Praise the Lord. I want to say something about deliverance for children. I've run into quite a few instances of this in the past few years, where that children have been demonized without people realizing it, and they've called it everything under the sun for what it really was. We turn to Mark, the 9th chapter, if you would turn with me, please. Beginning at the 14th verse, and when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth his teeth, and pineth away. And I spoke to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowing, foaming, and he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. I came from Monroe, Michigan. That's where I was born and raised, spent the first 30 years of my life. I come out into Indiana, and since that time, I never have been back into Michigan, only to preach. But my sister's baby boy, Timmy, had an unusual habit. Every time that he could get a butcher knife or a paring knife in his hand, he would stab whatever was handy. Now, the reason that I know that is I went up to visit my sister one time. I walked in the house, and Timmy comes walking out into the front room. I'm looking around at my sister's davenport, and there's cotton sticking out here, there. I'm thinking, what the world's the matter with her furniture? Went out in the kitchen to have a cup of coffee, and all the chairs were having knife marks in them. Foam rubber padding sticking out of it. And I said to my sister, I said, Dad, I said, what are you doing with your furniture? And she looked me right square in the eye, and of course, she wasn't a Christian at that time. She is now, and she's spirit-filled. But anyway, she said, well, she said, I hate to tell you this, but she said, it's Timmy. She says, every time that he gets a knife in his hand, she says, he just stabs everything he gets a hold. She says, we've hit all the knives. You know, the Lord said down inside of me that that's a demon inside that little boy. And I looked at him, and he wasn't over 5 years old. And I looked at him, and he didn't want to have anything to do with me. But anyway, my sister walked out the back door. I prayed that God would move her out of there. And she walked out the back door, and I said, Timmy, in Jesus' name, you come to me. And he marched right over there between my legs, and I wrapped my legs around him as I sat down, and I embraced his arms, and I held him up tight to me like that, and I commanded that spirit out of him in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, I never had a hold of anything like that in my life. There was a struggle going on there, and I'm telling you, I could barely hold him. But God set him free. Now, my sister, I went up 6 months later, and I says, Timmy been stabbed anything? She says, you know, she says, for about 6 months, she says, he hasn't done or acted like that at all. She says, fact of the matter is, he's had a complete personality change. Glory to God. I never told her till she got saved and filled with the Spirit what I did. Not too long ago, over here in Rockwood, Tennessee, there's a group of people from, well, some of the people, Sammy and Bill Myers from Indianapolis, Indiana. Her sister's little boy, you could not calm that boy down. That boy run everywhere. And all they did was spend their time running after him. He is about four years old, something like that. And so they asked me if I would stop by and see if I couldn't get that little boy delivered, because they recognized that there was some kind of a spirit in that boy. They just could not get that little boy under control. So I said, okay. I said, the first chance I get. So my wife and I, coming down from Indiana, we took a route around by Nashville, and we started across there, and all at once I saw that sign, Rockwood. And I said to Audrey, I said, we're going to stop for a few minutes and take a little child over here through deliverance. So we went into Rockwood, and of course I knew Sammy and Bill's mother, but I didn't know the rest of the family. And they introduced us, and that little boy was in the house. And I said, I come over here to deliver that little boy. And that little boy shot out of that house, and I'm telling you that for 3 blocks, I had everything I could give it to catch him. I couldn't believe it. I know I'm not a fast runner, but I'll tell you, I'm not too slow. But I was out of wind, I mean to tell you, when I finally got him. You know, I couldn't even talk to him all the way back to the house because I was puffing and blowing. And I'll guarantee you I had a grip on him that he wasn't getting away again. We took that little boy in that house and delivered him. And God set him free. Praise be unto God. Now I want to say unto you that many of the demons that we're dealing with today in you people came into you when you were just little tiny children. Little tiny children. That's why Jesus never committed himself to any man. John the second chapter. In John the second chapter in the 23rd verse, now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. And the miracles which Jesus did was usually the casting out of demons. And Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. And he needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Now there's a strange thing about things that are in man. We do very good and very well in our walk until someone crosses us. And if you're ever going to be set free from the bondage that darkness has had upon you, you're going to have to be crossed. That's why you don't commit yourself unto men, unto man. I remember a few years ago, and as I was pastoring a church, simply because I would not embrace the teaching that they wanted me to teach, 3 women got down on their knees and vowed that they would pray until God killed me. I wouldn't doubt but what 85% of you people have done the very same thing. They vowed that they would pray until God killed me. And I want to say to you that through that demon activity that they set loose upon me, and me not knowing anything about it, and my wife not knowing anything about it, the demons, the devil almost got the job done. I took a group of people and went up into Michigan, a group of young people. It was foggy and it was rainy that day, and I remember we stopped at a camp. And we tried to get a fire going, and we couldn't get the thing going. It just would not burn. It just kept going out, kept going out, kept going out. So finally I told the boys, I said, you run over across the road. We had a hatchet and a small axe with us. I said, run over across the road and back in a pine thicket and try to get something that would be dry underneath those pine trees. So they did that. They ran over there. So we took the fire the fireplace. We cleaned it all out of that wet, damp wood that was laying there in this camp where it was 23 miles this side of Sheboygan. And we rebuilt it. Put it up here, and unbeknownst to me, Gerald Tooley, who was one of the counselors, had struck a match and set it down in there. But I decided I was going to get that fire going real quick. And I walked over to the car, and I got a 2-gallon can of white gasoline. And I walked over to that thing, and I had no idea that Gerald had struck a match on that. And I started pouring that gas into that thing, and you know, I poured it off on the side where the flame wasn't yet, and I didn't even know the flame was there. I poured it off the side, and I imagine I poured about a quart. Because I wanted that fire to get going, and all of a sudden, that thing blew up. And I mean that I threw that 2-gallon can of gas, and it went up in the air, and it came all over me. I was a fire from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And I want to tell you, people, that all I could think of was to fall on the ground. And I fell on the ground, and I began to roll. And as I began to roll, these people were throwing dirt on me, just throwing the sand, just heaping the sand on top of me. This arm was blazing yet, last of all. This thing looked like a piece of roast beef. And I was burnt all the way down, but the fire was on. But what I'll tell you, everybody was just about hysterical. We had a brand new 1965 Chevrolet. And I told my wife, I said, let's go to Sheboygan. There's probably a hospital there. And so we started out up the road. And as we started out up the road toward Sheboygan, I knew that all those kids, when we left, they were down on their knees praying. And while we were going up the road, the pain was so great in my arm that just like Brother McCarroll was talking about that kidney stone. Now, I never have had kidney stone. But that burn was so great upon my arm and upon my body that I'm telling you people that I was almost senseless. But all of a sudden, inside my spirit, way down in the depths of my being, a song came. He abides, he abides, hallelujah, he abides with me. Have you ever sang that song? Anyway, I started singing that song. My wife was giving that 65 everything it could go. She had her foot clear down, almost in the carburetor. And we were flying towards Sheboygan. And so help me that the Spirit of God came down and hit me in the top of my head and went down through my body and took every bit of pain out of my arm. Gone. It was gone. By the time we got to Sheboygan, here I was. Well, it all looked like the same thing. When we got to Sheboygan, I walked right in the front door of the hospital, and I'm telling you, those nurses come flying out, the help all come flying out there, they ushered me. They run me right down the hallway and run me right into the emergency room. Two doctors came in, and they were looking at the situation. I told them what had happened to me, and he said, well, we want you to get up here, and they wanted me to get up on that nice white place, and here I was all covered with black sand. And I didn't want to get up on that white operating table. So I said, well, I'll tell you. I said, really, God's touched me. And I said, I haven't got any pain. I said, why don't we just clean up right here? The doctor looked at that other doctor. And he says, there's a religious kook. They wanted to give me a shot for pain, and I wouldn't take it because I said, there is no pain. They tried to give me pills, and I wouldn't take the pills because I said, there's no pain. They could not believe that. And they cleaned me up and operated on me and filleted this arm and took this all off right here. They took that off. You say, it's on. I know it's on. I'm not to the end of the story. They took this off. They operated on my arm and took that off. They just laid it off. It looked like a filleted fish. When they laid the piece off, it looked like a filleted fish. It was cooked meat that they peeled right off. They put some kind of yellow salve. It was a sulfasalve. Yellow salve all over my arm. They wrapped bandages all around my arm and put my arm in a sling. Cleaned me up wherever I was. I was burnt. My hair was singed. What I had. I got back in the car and we started back toward the camp. This was on a Tuesday. On Thursday, we were in Sault Ste. Marie and I was almost a stark raving maniac. Itchy. Itchy. Oh, I couldn't get my fingers off that bandage. And we had Judy McNabb, who was a registered nurse in Anderson, Indiana, along with us. And I told Judy McNabb, I said, Judy, I said, we're going to have to change that bandage. She said, you know, Brother Milton, well, the doctors had told me that when I got home, I was to see my family doctor. Well, we didn't have a family doctor. But they said, you've got to see your family doctor when you get home. So I thought, well, I'll leave that bandage on till then. But this was only 2 days later. And I said, Judy, you've got to take that bandage off me. I said, this thing is driving me crazy. She said, Brother Miller, she said, that doctor said leave it on. She said, I think you ought to leave it alone. She said, let's just pray about it. Well, we prayed about it, and the itching got worse. It seemed like the more we would pray about it, the more it would itch. So finally, I convinced her to take a look at it. When she took that bandage off, she got down to where the bandage was close to my arm, and all at once the tears started rolling down her face, and she said, Brother Miller, she says, your flesh has grown in to the bandage. I said, what? She says, your flesh has grown into the bandage. She said, we're going to have to get that bandage off of you. They went over to a drugstore and bought a pair of tweezers and a box of salt. And they took a laundry bag and they filled it up with a saline solution and they soaked my arm for 2 hours. And then they pulled it out. I pulled it out and they took that bandage out of my skin. I said, skin. You hear what I said? They took the bandage out of my skin. Pulled it all off and took that off there. And when I got home, which was just not, it was less than a week later, when I arrived home, all I had was a red spot. Glory to God. I never knew what was involved in that till several years later. One day we received a call at our home, and we had moved from there and had been out of that pastorate for quite some time. Received a call from a man, and he said, Ferris, he says, we'd like to have you come over. He says, my wife's in the hospital, and he says, she wants to talk to you. I said, all right. So I went over, and here was this lady. She's the same age. She was 46 years old. Here she was, paralyzed, right down her right side. Had a stroke. And I leaned over the bed, and I could barely understand what she was trying to say to me. But she was asking my forgiveness. She said, I want you to ask. She says, I want you to forgive me. She says, Brother Miller, she says, I got down with two other ladies, and she named them. And she says, we vowed to pray that God would heal him. And she says, when you came home, she says, we were sorry that God had not taken your life. Simply because there was a disagreement in doctrinal teaching in that church. So what do I do with people like that? In Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 43rd verse, it says, you have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. That wouldn't be in the scriptures if that didn't happen. Amen? Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? If ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven perfect. Hallelujah. But what I want to say is this, is that I do not commit myself to any man. I never will. I never shall. You say, well, you aren't. I said commit. I didn't say submit. I said commit, and there's a tremendous difference between submission and commit. I don't intend to commit myself to anyone because we're any man, because we're all in the act of becoming. And I'll tell you, the things that are wrong down on the inside of us will still attract wrong things. Birds of a feather flock together, you know. Is that true? Go with me to John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse. In John, the 10th chapter and the 10th verse, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And that is his supreme business. And he's about it all the time. I wouldn't doubt but what you had a very free meeting in here this afternoon, because there was something up above the church here cleansing the heavens. Are you telling... I don't know. I wasn't here to the service. But I know we were here. But we were above it. Right up here. I brought Brother Glenn over here and Kevin. We circled the camp. Guess what we were doing? Just taking pictures? Binding and loosing. Praise be unto God. Did you feel loosing in here? They didn't get loose? Praise God. I brought Brother Worley over here. And Brother Glenn, we did the same thing. Came back over here. Come down. Did you hear that roar all of a sudden? We were binding right over the top of you when we were doing that. Praise be unto God. Our conversation is in heaven. Hallelujah. But the Lord says, I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. Now we know, as we were speaking before, that along in this area here, that evil spirit and demons and devils, which are mistranslated in the Bible, the word, there's only one diabolos. There are many demons, but there are not many devils. There's only one devil. Whenever you see the terminology devils written in the Bible, you can mark it down that that is demons. Demons. And we have the terminology demon possessed. I don't like to use that terminology because I don't feel as if it is completely correct. But I do know this, that if I had cancer upon my arm, I would say that that area is demon-possessed. But I would not say that I am in total possessed of a demon. Now, we very seldom ever see any real demon, full demon possession. We may see some of it here in this country. We'll probably be seeing more all the time, because there's got to be somebody around that's going to take these things on. Amen? Sure, there's got to be someone. And the whole The whole idea of these demon powers are to bring us into a place of where that they have seduced us, or caused us to wander away from the Lord. That's what the word seducing means. Plano is a Greek word, and it simply means to wander out of right paths, to wander up the wrong path. And that's what they would like to do. Now, there are a lot of activities, but I'll say this, that all of their activities are progressively evil, and they all tend toward death. I'm going to give you seven areas in which the demons operate tremendously, and they're going to operate in such power as we have never seen them operate. They're going to operate in the near future with such power that they're going to deceive the whole world. The whole world. I'm going to give these to you because I doubt if I can get through all these tonight in just preaching the word. Number one, demons act as the spiritual agents which induce worship and sacrifice in all idolatry. Number two, demons disseminate errors among men and thereby seduce believers. Number three, demons cause many to commit spiritual adultery, and they are thereby defiled, or many are defiled, through spiritism. Number four, demons are able to afflict Christians and non-Christians with diseases and sicknesses. Number five, demons can display tremendous acts of strength through the bodies of those that they inhabit. Number six, is it? Five? Six? Number six, demons differ in degrees of wickedness. And seven, demons will finally instigate the rulers of all nations at the end of this age to make war against God and the true Christ. Those are the seven activities of demonic powers according to the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and verse 14, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved, my dearly beloved, flee from what? Idolatry." What is idolatry? See, that's what we want to know. What is idolatry? Now, I'm dealing with this first one here, that demons act as the spiritual agents which induce worship and sacrifice in all idolatry. What is idolatry? If I were to pass out papers among you here tonight, a lot of you people would write down your ideas of what idolatry are. You'd have every conceivable thing under the sun. Some of you may not even think that there's such a thing as idolatry here in the United States of America. But you see, here in the United States of America, it's more prevalent than it is anywhere else. And I've been to India. And I've seen they worship 136 million different gods in India. But I said that idolatry is more prevalent here in the United States of America than any place in the world. Why do I say that? Because verse 7 of this same chapter tells you what idolatry is. It's eating, it's drinking, and it's pleasure. Come on now, say amen. Aren't you reading your Bibles, or you've got something? You're reading the funny papers out there. I'm talking to you according to God's Word. What does it say up there? It says to do what? "Neither be ye idolaters as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Isn't that a shock to your system? Why, we can hardly have a charismatic meeting without something to eat, without something to drink, or without a little pleasure. What do you suppose is enticing us to do that? You say, "Oh, brother, what are you pulling on us?" I'm not pulling anything on you. I'm opening your eyes. I'm pulling the shades up, the blinders off your eyes. Idolatry. Idolatry. Don't commit that. Don't commit it. Why? Because it's eating and it's drinking and it's pleasure. That's idolatry. That's what idolatry is. Hold your finger right here for just a moment. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I just happened to think of this. 2 Timothy, 3rd chapter, verse 1. "This know also, that in the last days," and do you know any more that are last than these? So these must be the last days. Perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, crazy, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than God. Now, look at this. You say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with the church. Next verse. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What are you supposed to do, folks? Oh, no, stay right there until God revives it. Stay right in there until God. The Bible isn't true. He's not going to send those demons into all of those denominational systems. Why, he's going to revive those things. That's what I hear you testifying to. God's going to revive the Methodist Church. God's going to destroy that harlot daughter of Babylon, the great whore. Along with all these movements that are man-made. Oh, praise the Lord. See, that's why I say I don't commit myself to any man, because here's where we separate. See, people separate right here with me. And you see that what I'm talking about, this thing involves us, because here we come into a situation, and I'll tell you that if you don't have something to entice the people, they will not come to hear the word. Now, come on now. Most people say, well, idolatry is covetous, or it's some kind of an idol that we set up over here on the side or something like that. The Bible says, as it is written, they ate, they drank, and they rose up to play. Well, turn back to 1 Corinthians 10. We won't belabor that anymore. Now we've got your attention, or else you've already closed the book. But open it and bear with me just a little bit. Grind your teeth and just sit there. We'll take care of you later. Verse 14 again, we'll take a look at it again. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, these are Christians, flee from idolatry. You know, I preached this sermon one time over in Ohio to a full gospel businessmen meeting. I've never been invited back in the area. This is on tape, isn't it? But be what must be. They need to be set free. Set there with their stomachs full, eyelids. Praise God. Praise God. Boom. Hallelujah. And notice in verse 15 who he's speaking to. These aren't dummies. Who is he speaking to? I speak to wise men. He says, judge ye what I say. Judge it. Is it true or isn't it true? See, that's what Paul's saying. Would you say that what Paul says is true, or would you say that what I say is true? Well, I'm saying the same thing Paul says. I've already said it. Didn't I say it? Did I leave anybody out? I'll try to hit all of you before we're done here. I won't leave anybody out of here. The cup of blessing which we blessed is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? Which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are what? One bread. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day a good meeting. For we being many are one bread. Are one bread. And we're one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. That is, if that bread will break. Hear what I said? The hands of the Lord comes along in the meeting, and he begins to feel of you. Here's a chunk that will, and there's a chunk that won't. And I'll tell you, it's a funny loaf sometimes. Because some don't mean to feed anybody else. They've come to get stiff. If you ever see an old piece of bread? Well, didn't you see an old piece of bread? I haven't seen bread in so long, I don't know what it looks like either. But it does, doesn't it? It gets old and stiff, then I'll tell you, who wants to chew on that? It says we're all partakers of that one bread. Sometimes when you bite into somebody, it... moldy. Well, all right. Now, 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh. Are they not they which eat of the sacrifices partaker of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered to sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to who? No, I told you what that meant. Demons. Demons. For sacrificing to demons. And not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with what? With demons. How'd you like to have fellowship with demons? But where do you think the demons hang out? Where do the demons hang out? Where the idolatry is. That's where the demons hang out. I mean, it's just simple, isn't it, folks? I mean, you can just read it. That's where the demons hang out. Now, how are you going to have fellowship with that? You can't have fellowship with darkness if you're light. Now, I'll tell you, if you want to have fellowship with darkness, just hang around. He says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of what? Demons. He cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of demons. My, oh, my. You say, Brother Miller, I wish we hadn't come tonight. The demons hang out wherever the idolatry is present. Wherever it is present. And I'll tell you people that here in the United States of America, that we all, in this country here, just about all of us, have put our belly first. God is our belly. If anything conflicts with our pleasure, anything of God that conflicts with our pleasure, we're not going to after the things of God. I'll tell you people, and I'm talking to you here tonight, that the things that you're hearing right in your ears right now, you had better hear it down inside of you. You had better hear it down inside of you. Now, I know you don't hear messages preached along this line, because they take preachers like this and throw them right out of the church. I've been thrown out. You say, as big as you are? Yes. Not only that, they excommunicated my wife and my children. And they didn't even believe what I did. They were in harmony with the church and they threw them out. So I joined another denomination. Guess what they did? The Sunday that I had the group to come over from the Quaker church to look at the congregation that we had. We were going to bring it into the Quaker denomination. And the Sunday we had to come over, some goofy girl jumped up and started speaking tongues. An old woman that has never moved in years jumped out in the aisle and started to dance. Now, I know, see, they believe in moving in the spirit, but don't ever let your body know it. So we received a letter, and we were out of that. I had all kinds of meetings lined up with the Quaker churches because I was their evangelist. And they'd have their yearly meeting. They always brought me up to the front, and I preached a sermon on evangelism. And I went all over through Indiana and Ohio, Michigan, Illinois. They just passed me from Quaker church to Quaker church. I received letter after letter after letter. Canceling out. They never told me why they canceled out. But I was to bring the message over to the Indiana yearly meeting. Guess who they got instead? Maharishi somebody. He took my place. And the thing that he taught on was transcendental meditation. Turn to Revelation 18. You say, Brother Miller, you're grinding axes. No, I'm not grinding axes. I'm sharpening a sword. Revelation 18. Nobody ever touches this. Very few messages are preached upon it. And the ones that have preached it are dead. And the ones who will get killed. In Revelation 18, it said, after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become the habitation of what? Tell me what Babylon is, folks. Oh, I'd like to think that it was over there where Abraham was called out, the Ur of the Chaldees. That's right. It's a structured church. It's a structured church that has drunk the blood of the saints of God. You know that every apostolic ministry that has come forth on the face of this earth has hated it? Because they will not allow Christ to be in the foundation, the sidewall, or the roof. I'm going to read on here. Because most people don't even hear this. And most people, if they read it, they just read over and say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with me. I'll tell you that if you belong in any Roman Catholic church here tonight, or any Protestant church, because Roman Catholic church is Babylon the great whore. All the Protestant churches, if you push it back to their roots, they all came out of her. They're her harlot daughters. And if you join yourself to a harlot, you are one flesh. Brother Wynn, are you with me? Hallelujah. All right. We're big enough for all of them here. He says it's become the habitation of the demons. This is where the demons are going, folks. That's where they're going. People say, where are the demons going, Brother Miller? They go to my kids, they go to my family. No, they're not going there. They're going where they're well accepted. So you say, what are they doing? A little idolatry. They're eating and they're drinking and they're rising up to play. Look at this. I'll tell you what, it scares you even to read it. Then people say, God bless God, he's reviving them. He's reviving the church. You know, he's got in this one and he's got in that one. And we got our little Baptist-Costal meeting going down here. I said, Baptist-Costal? What's that? Well, you know, they say Pentecostal. They call that Baptist-Costal. I said, oh. I said, has the whole Baptist denomination embraced this speaking in tongues now? Well, no. But, you know, we're going to start it and we're going to revive the church. Well, I'll tell you what I hear coming through that mouth is one of these outfits. A demon. God's not going to revive something he's destroyed. And people say, well, you know, this is a long ways off. You know, if I told you what I felt in my heart, you'd be mad at me. We're so close to the end time that, brother, I can feel the consuming fire of God trying to get rid of all the spots and the wrinkles. Amen. And boy, are you going to get a surprise tonight to find out what the spot and the wrinkles are. We'll work on this. The habitation of the demons and the hold of every what? Foul spirit. A stinking thing, a stench. Listen, I remember one time when I first came into the ministry that I thought I'm going to win all these people in this town to the Lord. I wanted to. Well, I started out by knocking on the doors. As I knock on the doors, they'd say, what church are you from, Reverend? I say, well, I'm from this little church down here, KTUB, here in Ossian, Indiana. And they say, oh, you mean the Memphis Church. And I said, the what? Well, they said, that church makes Memphis every year, and we all buy it. That was our testimony. And I was here for a couple of years, I tell you, folks, and it was like that. And they'd all get together, the women, and they'd take bushels of apples, and they'd still go down that basement. And they'd pare those apples, and they'd cook that meat, and they'd cook those apples, and they'd can all that stuff. I mean, hundreds and hundreds of quarts of that stuff. And for weeks in the church, a foul spirit. We smelled like one big mincemeat pot. I think I attracted every glutton in town. You know what I did? That thing grieved my heart so badly. You know, they weren't interested in anything. Any salvation program, nothing. Just mincemeat. That was some total thing that was mentioned in our meetings, is how much money that we got every year from mincemeat. And I'll tell you this one year I've had it. I got down on my knee over in my study, which was about 50 feet from the church. And there they were all gathering in to peel apples. And I said, God, I said, if you called me to preach, you're going to have to break this dumb thing up. I said, I'm sick. I said, I've talked to the men. I've talked to the women. And I said, they want to go right on. They aren't interested in you. I said, Lord, you called me. I said, did you call me to preach or didn't you call me to preach? I said, Lord, I'm asking you to break that thing up in the name of Jesus. I got up off my knees, not bawling, sitting there in my chair. All at once, a hammer come on the door. Wham, 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 wham. Hattie come running in the door. She said, oh, Reverend Miller, she said, come quick. She said, we just got in a big fight over there in the basement of the church. I said, good. Those women threw apples at one another in the basement of that church. Got in a fight over red apples and green apples and yellow apples. Hallelujah. I got thrown out of that church. Brother, when I get before God, he's not going to judge me on mincemeat. I've been judged him. Right to this day, I can hardly stand it. You know why?
Because the birth, it says here, it says every foul spirit. And to me, that was a foul spirit. And the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And boy, you could find every kind of a bird you ever found in your whole life in those outfits. Look at this. It says, for all what? Nations. This thing's all over the whole world. Have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her what? Her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed what? Who are the kings of the earth? The political rulers. And we are. We've been made kings and priests since we've been washed in the blood, haven't we? Sure, let's put it together then. Committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Why? Because they got all kinds of money. You know, I got to thinking today how that we could raise money for the camp. But no, not this. We could take you group of people, of believers, and just threaten that we're going to enter their church next Sunday and just worship with them. And why? They got plenty of money. Money's running out their ears. Money everywhere. Why? Why, because those demons instigate giving in that church. They just cause those people to give. Just cause them to give through every situation. And they don't know where they're giving. They don't know where that money is going. All they just do is give it in, give it in, give it in, give it in. And they never, ever ask one time where it's going. If you begin to ask, you'll get in trouble. I remember one fellow asked me, and I said, well, I don't know. He said, why don't you find out? And I said, all right. I called up the conference superintendent. And I said, I'd like to have a rundown on just a breakdown on how that our money that is given into the conference is handled. Well, he hammered on it. I thought he got to speaking in tongues. He said, that's how he started. When he got done, he says, I'll have to send you a letter. He says, I really don't know myself. But come to find out that out of $1, every dollar that we sent into the conference, only one penny of it ever hit the mission field. The earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, what? Mark it down. Come out of her, what? Now listen, if you aren't his people, don't come out. Stay right there. Just stay in there. You know, you can just go ahead. You can resurrect it. You can revive it. Oh, God is going to raise that thing up. He is going to bless our church. You'll probably say, oh, Brother Miller, I'll tell you, the Episcopal Church hasn't had a revival in so long. We're the ones that believe in the charismatic meeting. Oh, come on now. That's a harlot. Right along with the Presbyterian and all the rest of them. Right on down the line. Assembly of God, the whole works. You say the Assembly of God believes in talking in tongues. Yeah, that's about it. Right on down the line. You say, where are we going to go? That's an excuse. If all you get out, you'll have a church. Sit down. Come out of her, my people. That ye what? Be not partaker of her what? But her sins. Idolatry. Demonology. Stinking mincemeat spirits. Oh, don't laugh. I've been in churches preaching on Sunday morning where I smelled ham. Fish in some places. Fish. Chicken dinners. What's that smell coming up into my nostrils? I wonder if God can smell. You think God's got a nose? Glory to God. Maybe that's how he checks us out. Boy, you stink. Sister, you stink. Do you hear it? You're fragrant. It is not the Lord. Stench is rising up in the nostrils of God. Oh, come out of her, that ye be not partakers of her sin, and that ye receive not of her what? Her plague. Would you live where plagues are abounding? Well, what are you doing? See it? Listen, do you know what a plague is? You know, one time I remember up in Michigan when scarlet fever hit Monroe. And it was a plague. And it was such a plague that everybody that got it had a red sign put on their house. It was nailed right on the side of the house. The reason it wasn't nailed on our house. And I'll tell you that anybody reading that sign or seeing that sign, they stayed away from that. That was a red sign that said we had scarlet fever in that house. The milkman left the milk off out at the road. He didn't even come up to the house to collect the money while that red sign was on that house. The mailman, any package to deliver, was set out by the end of our sidewalk. No friends, nobody came. The only one that ever come was the doctor and my grandmother came to live with us, to stay with us. My brother and myself, we almost died of that scarlet fever, that plague. That thing was such a raging force in our lives that the doctor even thought it was going to destroy us boys and our brain. That's okay. When you're under conviction, you laugh or cry. I don't. But so help me. How many of you know what scarlet fever is? You know what I'm talking about? I'll tell you, there were people, my friends died. There were children, there were men and women died all over our neighborhood. It was terrible. Died because of that plague. And just think, that if in Babylon that there are plagues, and God says there are plagues in that place, he said plagues, he didn't say one plague. If there are many, just guess what you could catch being there. You're not going to catch it unless you're around it. See? You say, well, God's a loving God. Yes. And he's hated what these people have done to his son for 2,000 years. Do you know that Jesus spoke about Isaiah 61, and when he got down to verse 3, he stopped in the middle of the verse. But there's a more to it. He didn't talk about the day of vengeance of our God. And there's going to be. And reprieves aren't pardons. You say, oh, I'll put it off and I'll do something about this a little later on. You know what? I want to say something to you. With all seriousness, in talking to you people, don't come up with the excuse, where am I going to go? My mother said to me, she's a member of the United Methodist Church in Michigan, where I was saved in this church. Yes, I was saved in the church. A lot of people have been saved in the Babylonian system. Even Jesus himself. They were the ones that finally did what to him? That's right, they crucified him. And if he gets too familiar today, they'll crucify him. But my mother said to me, she said, Paris, I would go somewhere, but where am I going to go? Well, I told her about 15 places. Well, she says, but I've been a member here since I was 17 years old. And she says, I'm old now. And she says, who's going to bury me when I die? I said, Mom, if it's summertime, anybody. If it's winter, it may be longer. So what's she doing? She's still there. Your mother got the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Yes. But she told me she never exercised it because they never do it there. Fact of the matter is, she says, the preacher, she says, is coming around because she says one day he spoke on tongues. I know I'm not going to get to the rest of these things, but I got to some pretty good stuff here tonight. Now notice, I'm not quitting. Oh, don't you shut your eyes here. I'm going on down. I want to show you the results of this outfit. And I want to show you why I don't like it. You probably surmised that by now. It says, for her sins have reached unto where? Heaven. And God hath what? Remembered what? Reward her even as she has rewarded you. And double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, filled to her double. How much has she glorified herself and lived deliciously? So much torment and sorrow give her, for she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. And here they are, death, mourning, and famine. There are plagues. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off from the fear of her torment. See, they won't come near her then. They're going to all come out someday. Standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, of pearls, fine linen, purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass and iron and marble, and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil, fine flour, wheat, beasts, sheep, horses, and chariots and slaves, and the what? Souls of men. Souls of men. You ought to underline that. And the fruits that that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee. And all things which are dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. And saying, alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all company and ships and sailors, and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by the reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. Notice this, verse 20. What does it say? Rejoice over her, who? Thou heaven, and who else? Ye holy apostles, and who else? And prophets. Why? Before God hath avenged you on her. I want to tell you people, that since 1970, that the Lord has allowed me to help raise up 14 different churches, 14 different bodies, in Michigan, in Ohio, Indiana, and in Illinois. He's helped me and assisted me in those places. And I'll tell you that the greatest battle I have is with that Babylonish spirit that comes along with those that come out of Babylon. All you got to do is to pull up the cover of the rug a little bit, and you'll usually find the wedge of gold. It's hidden away. Why? Because they're going to keep it, and God's not going to get it at all. And the smell is upon them. We all ourselves, as we come out and come into those things, praise be unto God, God begins to deliver us, and He begins to set us free. Hallelujah. And we don't have to sacrifice and do worship unto demons. Why should I sit around with a group of people that are sacrificing unto the devil and giving sacrifices unto demons and try to have fellowship with them and say, let's have communion in the Lord? They're not interested in communion in the Lord. They're interested in the price of the meal. They're interested in the yacht or their cabin on the lake or any other thing that they can get a hold of. They're interested in that kind of thing. They're not interested. And they're having a form of godliness. Oh, they know the language. Boy, can they speak the language. They've got it all down pat. Know how to flow in the gifts. Do all that. But when the truths of God began to come into them, they're burping and sleeping. And they have become the habitation of every foul spirit here upon earth. I've met this kind of spirit in a lot of different places in this world. But I told you before that it's probably stronger here in the United States than it is any place else in the whole world. There's idolatry all over the world, as I said before. Everywhere you look. The first time that I was even associated and saw the results of demonology in those who sacrificed to demons was on the island of Trinidad, where I run into a group of people called the Spiritual Chowder Baptists. I'm not trying to hit just Baptists here tonight. But I'm telling you that this is a group of people that I was just told by Brother Boney's mother that in Grenada, that it's almost taken the whole island over. I stood in Woodbrook. Is it Woodbrook or Woodstock or what is it in the square? Woodbrook? Woodward. Woodward Square in Port of Spain in Trinidad, and I thought they were having a charismatic meeting. You know why I say that? Because they were doing everything we're doing here. They, oh my Lord. They had their preachers with their Bibles, and they were preaching, and they were speaking in tongues. They had a great big circle drawn in the dirt on the ground.
They had lines drawn into the center of it like a pie. There were little figures and inscriptions that were written in the dust. They had a fan-shaped vase sitting out there. And they had candles that were lit that were down in this vase. There were several women there all dressed up in white and had on white hats. And they were ringing little bells. And I moved in because I thought I could help get somebody converted. I thought it was a spiritual meeting, and sure enough it was. But I didn't know what kind. And all at once, this preacher up at the front stopped and he was speaking in tongues. And all at once, a young woman about 30 years of age, I would imagine, jumped out of the crowd, fell down in the center of this circle, and he took this vase that had the fan-shaped vase, had all the candles in, began to move all around her and continued to speak in tongues. And all of a sudden, I saw this girl, she began to writhe on the ground. She began to spit and foam and began to wallow in the dust. And I understood right there that she had accepted Satan into her heart. She had received the devil, just like we receive Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, there was every kind of a contortion under the sun. And then I think the ritual to that, John, is that they go into a 30-day fast. And they drink demons every day of the 30-day fast. They drink demons. Do you hear what I said? They drink demons. Drink them right in. And they drink them in until that they're absolutely demonized. I'll tell you, I didn't know what was going on. I had the funniest feeling coming all over me as I stood there in that place, and I didn't have discerning of spirits. I hadn't even been exercised in tongues much. I didn't know what they were doing. And I thought, they got a peculiar religion here. And I didn't understand what it was until that I bumped into the minister, Turnell Nelson, and I began to talk to him. And come to find out, they call themselves the Spiritual Shouter Baptists. The moment that girl became in heaven with this devil, with the devil, that minute they began to throw dirt into the air. And that whole circle out there was absolutely a cloud of dust. And they were all shouting. They were all shouting, throwing the dust up in the air, and it covered me with dust. Covered me with dust. I was standing there. I didn't know what was going on. There was probably 400 or 500 people all gathered around in that thing. And I didn't know what was going on, but I told Brother Turnell Nelson about this. And he told me that's what it was. Now, I want to share this with you people. This was my first association with this kind of a spirit that I'm talking about here that induces people to come into a place of where that they actually sacrifice, give sacrifice, and do sacrifice unto the devil himself and unto demons. I was preaching in his church, and all of a sudden, out of the back of the back part of the church, about halfway back, a woman came, and she stood up, and here she was, white outfit, white hat. And I was preaching under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, an evangelistic message. And I'll tell you that when you get under the Holy Spirit, you're going to have conflict with other spirits. And I'll tell you that woman come out of that seat, and she began to crouch coming at me, and her teeth looked just like fangs sticking out of her mouth, and she was growling like an animal. And she come right up to the front of that church running at me, and I'll tell you that there must have been a wall or something around me, because it looked like God just knocked her down right to her face. She went down in front of me. I'll tell you, people, I didn't know what was going on. Now, those people that I was preaching to, they thought I knew everything about all I was doing. I did not know what was happening here. Here this woman was lying on the floor. All of a sudden, she comes up off the floor with her feet. The next thing I know, she's raising off the floor, and her head begins to beat on the floor, and her feet begin to beat on the floor. These demons had levitated her off the floor and were beating her there. And I cried out to God. I had never seen anything like this before in my life. I cried out. I said, God, I said, help me. I looked at these people and I knew there wasn't any help coming from them. I said, God, help me. And inside of me, it was just like God went, Hah! He blew, and I got a strength as I never had before. And I just went over and I said, in the name of Jesus, I command you out of that woman. And I heard the sound of pigs squealing out of that woman. and it went on and on and on and on and on, and finally diminished and stopped, and she was set free. We led her immediately to the Lord. The next evening she came forward and was baptized in the Holy Ghost. Brother, you say, well, that's down there. But then we come up here. I can tell you all kinds of stories about Indian. I can tell you a story about how some witch doctors that I took on in a place where I shouldn't have been. I can tell you how I got out from underneath the covering of the Lord. When you're in this a realm of ministry, you must be absolutely sure at all times that you're absolutely covered. Because I'll tell you, God is not going to protect you if the Satan has a legal right to you. He will not do it. I remember a young girl that we had over in Erie, Pennsylvania. And this young girl, Judy Hall, and she had spent time in Africa. And Judy was sick all the time. She came home from Africa and she could not get well. Just continually sick, continually sick. We laid hands on her. We prayed over her. We never could get anything. Out in Erie, Pennsylvania, I decided to fast and pray for Judy. My wife and I both did. As we were fasting and praying for Judy, the Lord showed me the funniest looking object I had ever seen. And it was a stick. It had a rock tied on it. Tied around it. And the stick was hanging out both ends. The rock was in the center. And the Lord told me that was a juju something. I went over to Judy and I said, Judy, I said, I'm going to ask you something. And I said, it may be foolish, but I'm going to ask you. I said, do you know anything about a rock tied on a stick with ropes that would be juju something? Her eyes just lit right up, and you could just see fear coming all over. And while she was in Africa, somebody had taken one of these juju sticks and had thrown it in her yard and put a curse on her, a spell. And I want to share this with you people, that Myron Euler and his wife and my wife and I knelt down with her beside a wheat field out in Erie, Pennsylvania. We were in a tent meeting, and we're right beside a wheat field, and we commanded that curse to be broken, and when we did, a roar came out of that little tiny woman, and something hit that wheat, and that whole wheat field, it looked just like something went running right straight through it. You say, oh, my land. That's what I say too. Oh, my land. Is that right? But God had given a word of knowledge through a vision and got that girl free. She's free today. Hallelujah. Judy's free today. She's married to a minister now, having a wonderful time in the things of the Lord. But I'll tell you, they put that spell on her, and that's why she had to come back from Africa. She couldn't stay over there in that place. You say, well, what does that have to do with the United States? In the United States of America, they have brought over here every kind of a demon under the sun. And they're rampant everywhere. And what is happening here in this camp? We cast them out. Where do they go? They go right down here to Babylon, the heart of daughters. Why? They accept this. You know, they're going to let that old sister sit on the piano bench forever with that spirit of jealousy in her. Just don't touch her. You know, that old gal sits out there and cries all the time, so sorrowful. They're not going to cast that sorrowful spirit out of her, because that's not a spirit. That's just her character. They don't recognize these things in the spirit because they don't have the spirit. So therefore, they accept those people, and they're bound up, and they're being bound more and more and more and more. And all God can say it unto his people is, come out of her, my people. If you're the devil's people, stay in there. And just get as filled as you can with whatever they offer. Because they've got everything under the sun to offer. Oh, I know, this isn't the most popular sermon in the whole world. And I can hear the letters and see the letters coming through the mail. And I just file them in file 13. Brother, sister, demons act as the spiritual agents which induce worship and sacrifices in all idolatry. In all idolatry. The Babylonish system is real and is present. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be going to be destroyed. But yet God's people, the vessels of the Lord, will give all their time to Belshazzar's feast. And he with his thousand lords will drink out of the vessels of God. The gold and the silver vessels. Oh, they'll take your song. They'll take your money. They'll take the best of your life. And finally, you'll be a receiver of her plagues. So what do? We come out. We come out. You say, where am I going to go? That's that demon inside of you saying, where am I going to go? When a demon comes out, he walks through dry places saying, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? So you can get rid of it here, and perhaps someone here that likes to stay in it will take it. I'm not trying to say that. I'm serious about that. I mean that. It says it becomes a habitation. It's the house. It's the house. There's a demon house being built, as well as a house for the Lord. Praise be unto God. I'll tell you, God has given us the liberty, the freedom. He's given us the Word of God. And people still shun it. They still turn it off. And they'll just go their own miserable ways, saying just like my mother, well, who's going to bury me? Now, this is what... Now, if there's a hatred now in your heart toward me for what I said, good. Then you can recognize that you got a demon there. That's one of the first things. That'll hit you. It'll hit your heart. See? I'm telling you, people, I would not give a nickel into that system again. I wouldn't give a nickel into that system. I wouldn't give my time. I'm not going to give my time to that kind of an outfit. You say, Brother Miller, aren't you going to go where they eat and drink through the... Yeah, and I'll tell them, I'm going to preach this kind of a message. You think I change messages because I go somewhere? This brother was with me. This brother was with me along with some others, and I preached that in that meeting out there in Cambridge, Ohio. And one of the greatest spirits there is this being slain in the spirit. And I hit that thing in that meeting. And I'll tell you the truth, that when we got done, I think we were only four or five of us left. That spirit struck them, and out the door they went. He said, don't you believe in being slain in the spirit? Yes, sir. But not when you look around where you're going to fall. If there aren't any catchers present. And you know, if you see very few people slain in the spirit on a concrete floor. And I preached on that night, wasn't it? I said, did you know that Paul had a spirit of murder in him when he went down? People said he was slain in the spirit. Yeah? I'll tell you what it was. It was the wrong spirit inside of him that made him go down. The Roman soldiers all fell backward when Jesus just spoke to them. They were all slain in the spirit. They were taking him to killing. John on the island of Patmos. He fell down as one dead. And the next thing you know, the person that says, get up, I'm your fellow servant. You don't hear that in these meetings. Get up, I'm your fellow servant. They say, oh, glory, we got a meeting here. Some ministers got ministries of inducing people to do that. Very few people ever fall twice in our service. I'm on them like a bucket of nails casting the demons out. I'll tell you, I know I'm touching dangerous ground here, but it doesn't make any difference. The Lord's with me. He's delivered me right out of the lion's mouth. I'm not trying to say that all of it's false. You heard me say that. But I'm saying that a lot of this stuff where we go, one day, I'll tell you, I went into a meeting, and my wife and I were there, and a whole group of people lined up for me to pray for. And I touched this little old lady in the front, and she went over, she touched the one back, she went over, it looked like dominoes. And they went all the way out to the door. And I looked over here at a couple sitting in a chair, and they looked at me and they fell out of the chair. Well, I said, Lord God, you got a prophet filled with power and pride and haughtiness. I got down the road in my automobile going home, and the Lord come along with his long pen. I'm sitting there looking up through the steering wheel. Just before that, I was telling Audrey, boy, what a meeting we had. I said, I tell you, Audrey, God's really using me now. The Lord says, you go home. And he says, you're not going to bed tonight. He said, I'm going to make you seek out of the scriptures every place any one of my servants ever went down. And he says, I want you to check it out
with what it looks like today. And I went through the Word of God, and I got the shock of my life. I said, I went through the Word of God. And I got the shock of my life when I found out that very few of them were ever touched by anybody, and there wasn't usually anybody around when this was done, except God. Won't be many around except God. But it's genuine. Well, praise the Lord. People learn things from others. I don't know how many people we've cast the Pentecostal jerk out of. It's all according to which hand you're anointed in. The habitation of every demon. Every demon. You say, what are you talking about? Listen, I've been in those islands. I've been in India. I've watched those people listen to the sound of those drums coming in at night, pulling off their voodoo dances, walking down the street, watching them, and hearing the sound of that beat, and these people jerking in their bodies. How about it, John? You get up here in the United States and I go into service where they've really got the power. Boom, boom, boom. Oh, I'll tell you. It's serious now. It's a serious thing. People get a hold of this thing. They think it's the Lord. And they get a hold of that thing, and it's one of these demons I'm talking about. The Pentecostal jerk, they call it. I said to a person, I said, what are those people doing? And there was a lot of ladies there, and all of them were 100 pounds overweight. And they were all up in the front of the church. And they were going, look, 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 look. Sounded like chickens. Brother, sister, I'll tell you, if you think that this isn't true, I'll take you to church after church that is filled with that kind of stuff. It isn't funny at all. It's a serious thing, Glenn. You know what has happened? A controlling spirit has come in among those people, and they accepted it as something spiritual. Everybody thinks that just because you're spiritual, you have to be so funny. Left hand anointing. Get me a guard so nobody can touch my hand. Well, you haven't heard about that up here, or out here. I'm going to drop that. And I want to tell you people that I've seen people do so many funny things, and people, young Christians, sit there, and you know what they're going to do? They're going to mimic those people. That's what it is. It's a bunch of mimickers doing what somebody else did, not because they're led by the Spirit. I remember one time when I was 16 years old, I worked for Dr. Colby, a veterinarian. That's what I wanted to be. Was a veterinarian. And I worked for Dr. Colby up in Monroe, Michigan. And we had he got some sheep. And we'd never had sheep around before, but we put them in the horse barn. And I remember how I'd go down there in the wintertime. We'd close them up at night, then we'd let them out during the daytime. Well, I remember when we'd go down there, we'd open up that top door, and this old female sheep, this old ewe sheep, come right there, she hit that door, kaboom, 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 kaboom. You know, she wanted to get out of that stall. So we'd open up the door, and out they'd come. They'd just run out there in that pasture and just have a time, kicking up their heels and having a time. Then the sheep, they'd go, and the lambs, they would follow. Fellow told me, he says, you know, he says, sheep will do anything that the head sheep will do. You know what I did? I took the pitchfork and went down there in the morning, and I took the pitchfork, and I opened up the door real wide, and I held it right in front of the door just like that, and I just held the handle across there. And that old ewe sheep, she went right over the top. The next one, right over the top. I pulled the pitchfork away. Every one of them. You just get one sheep going, cluck, 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 cluck. Now, we come here to this camp to get free. Now, I'll tell you, if you got anything like that hanging on you, let's get it off tonight. Let the thing go back to the cluckers, or whatever they're doing, or the shakers, or whatever it is, or that jerk, or whatever it is. Let that thing go. Don't hang on to these religious items like as if it's the thing that makes you the most spiritual. Get rid of that. You say, well, Brother Miller, I've been slain in the Spirit. Well, praise God. So what? I like to have my people come up and tell me how many hours they spent in the Word, not how many hours they laid on the floor somewhere. Well, glory to God. I haven't even got done with the first point. I'm going to hesitate right here. I think we've gone far enough anyway. Maybe even a little bit too far. But we just got started here tonight, didn't we? Praise God. And here it is, almost 10:45. How do you like that?
You want a double feature, you're going to have to pay for it. Go right on. No, I'm not going to go on. I'm going to hesitate right here, and I'll tell you why. I know you people were faithful to the Lord in a long service this afternoon. And I believe you should get a good night's rest. And I want to share something with you here tonight. We'll continue on. I don't know whether I'll get a chance to preach some more of this tomorrow or not. If Glenn, he might let me. But we intend to have a mass deliverance service here tomorrow night. I want you people just to take those scriptures and those thoughts that I gave you here tonight, and I want you to think about it. Think about it. And maybe you'd ought to fast and pray about it. Just fast and pray about it. And if you've got any arguments with the thing, come and talk to me. Just talk to me about it a little bit. I've been associated with a lot of things, and you can talk to Brother Worthy, Brother McCarroll, Brother Boney, Brother Stone here, any one of these pastors. You can talk to any one of us. And talk to us about this very area right here. And we'll try to the best of our ability to give you some direction in the way that I feel as though, in the way of where that God's blessing will be upon us in the end. Praise be unto God. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may need ministry here tonight before that you leave this place. You may need healing in your bodies, or maybe someone here that has never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. You'd like to do it. We're going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen. But I'd only talk about accepting Christ as your Savior. I think that you'd ought to accept the path that He'll want you to walk also, right along with it. There may be some of you here that have never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you truly desire to be filled with the Spirit. Praise God, tonight's the night. Some of you may have not. Maybe you know just in the area of tongues. Maybe the devil's tricked you, or you haven't got a flow or something. We'll minister to those needs. Any one of those needs. There's plenty of ministers here, and there's a lot of us that will really assist you. How many of you love the brethren? You love the brethren. I'll tell you, love is shown by a response, isn't it? Praise God. We love the brethren. And whatever that need is here tonight, we'll try to meet it. So I'm going to ask you right now, while we just hesitate here for just a moment, waiting upon the Lord, if you just make up your mind that you have a need, if you'll just come walking right up here to the front. There's a message that probably stirs a lot of people. But I hope it'll stir you toward the Lord. I never hear these messages preached anywhere. I never hear it. And I'll say this, that is one of the greatest needs. Today, it's the greatest need today, the preaching and the teaching on Babylon. If you people just left here and went back to your several places and told, just get right after your minister and said, I want you to preach about 6 sermons on Babylon and her harlot daughters, you'd probably start a new church. It's not a familiar message. Any more needs here tonight? I talked to an Episcopal lady one day. She got so angry, she could barely talk to me because of what I said. She said, our church is going to come right on top. And I said, your church is going to go into the bottomless pit. The Lord said it's going into the sea like a millstone. And I think the apostles and prophets are going to have the opportunity to throw it. Praise be unto God. All right? Glory to God. Ben, did you want to say something?
I appreciate somebody who's got the guts to preach what's in the Word. And in my opinion, that's end-time ministry.
I want to read a scripture here. And it's from Hosea chapter 4. I read verse 12. But let me read verse 6 first. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no more priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Verses 11 and 12. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. My people ask counsel at their stocks, and their staff declareth unto them. For the spirit of whoredoms hath caused them to err, and they've gone a-whoring from under their God. From under their God. I think that's one spirit that many people need to be delivered from tonight. That spirit of whoredoms. That's among the people. And that's what caused them to go after other gods instead of following the purpose of God.
You know, I just feel this in my heart. I've got a very tender heart toward God's people. I really have. And I want you people to be right with God more than anything that you could even think. And I know God loves you. I know He does. And He wants to love you. But there are things that hang on all of us. Every one of us. It does. And I know this. And you know, I know when I was ministering here tonight on some of these things are probably some of the most serious things that you may have heard. You've never heard it, maybe. Some of you have heard it before, but some of you may never have heard this before. But it is a thing that God is going to cleanse in the end time. That thing. You know, we used to have a church, and we couldn't all get to the altar. Because the thing was, we had about 500 in a church that held only 268 people. But we used to have a thing they called going home by the way of the altar. That's what we need tonight. Just kneel down and pray. Just come right up to the front. If you come right on up, you come here. Let's kneel down and let's pray.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.